It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Okay, I'm gonna start with a joke, but I have to check first. Do you know who Glenn Danzig is?
No.
Okay. You know who Hans Christian Andersen is?
Yes.
All right. Then this will work. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Hans Christian Andersen.
Hans Christian Andersen, who?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the magic. Oh, I didn't think this through. I had a completely relaxed Ezzy next to me, and I did that, and she just about shat herself. Oh, poor baby. I am so sorry. I did not take that into consideration. Oh, I'm sorry. She hasn't run off, so that's welcome to the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. The only podcast in the world that showered like right before this, just for you.
Good job.
Not you, the listeners.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Good job.
I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 637.
The way you said that implies you didn't shower and therefore are very stinky. But luckily,
not just before. Yeah,
that doesn't come through the podcast. For those of you just joining us, this is a podcast. We have a hat. It is magic in that it has its own email address, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. It's a great email address. People love that email address. People like to write emails to that email address with whatever the crap. Often things like questions or topics of conversation or clumsily phrased jokes or whatever, and the hat magically sends them to us. We read them, talk about them. That's it. So, William, did anything of significance happen in the last week to you and yours that you might want to mention?
Well, Tuesday morning, and I'm talking like 1:30 in the morning. So, you know, it felt like Monday still, but it was Tuesday. My stepdaughter had her child, a little girl named Freya. And everybody's happy and healthy and great. She was just, she was in the hospital for a day after, just for standard stuff. Like, there wasn't anything wrong. They just kept her for a day. And so then, we watched Delmer. We ran up to Cedar Rapids to St. Luke's to get Delmer so that, you know, because he's two. he's not good.
No, this is 100% what we did when the second one was born next door.
Yeah. So that's, we took him.
Where I changed two of the three diapers I've ever changed in my life.
We took him. You know, we were up there around 1 o'clock to pick him up. And then they, like I said, they were in the hospital for a day too. So we had him two nights, I guess, if you count the night we picked him up. And when they picked him up, they came straight here. Really? No, no, they did go home because they had to make sure they had two car seats in their car.
Yeah.
Right. So they did go home for a little bit and then they came here. And so, Freya was here yesterday. So that was fun. That was nice.
You got that grandbaby stink all over your house.
Well, you know, we did
Very we did old go factory up, based today.
We did go up to the hospital while they were both still there. So that the first time we saw her was just the next morning.
Mm.
We took Delmer up there, and he was okay, a little hyper, and but then we brought him back here for a night, and then they picked him up yesterday. And I didn't get to hold Freya at the hospital because she was sleeping or feeding or whatever else. Abby got to hold her though at the hospital, which was nice.
You better hurry and get in there on that. I don't think they're. I think you got about a week, and then they're not really holdable after that. So,
well, yesterday, so she was a little fussy, and you know, they gave her to me. And I just rocked her. Like, so when Freya's mom was that age, which is so weird, you know, to be dealing with little kids and to be able to tell them stories about their parents when they were that age. But anyway, when she was that age, she could be rocked a particular way and would go to sleep. I mean, you had to do it a particular way. You couldn't, I don't know if you could just do like a rocking chair or something. You had to do it in just a particular way. And I remembered what that way was, and it made Freya calm down and go right to sleep. So
aww.
I thought that was pretty cool that I could remember what worked with Alex. And
I think you've talked about, this is the bit where you have to curl two fingers up into the hard palate, and you hold the baby by the weight of its hard palate. Right. And then you just sort of swing.
No, for Alex. And I think for Freya too, it's about, like if you move in a particular way, it does something. You can see their eyes moving in a particular way, like they're trying to fix their gaze on something.
No.
And that basically takes up pretty much all their mental processing, and so everything else calms down, and after a while they just fall asleep.
I mean, you can just do that by shaking them.
Stop. I can't believe you said that.
I'm not saying you should. I'm just saying if that's the goal.
But you need to.
Pretty easy.
They need to move. Like if you had them and you were kind of going back and forth in the stereotypical way, that doesn't do it. You kind of have to rotate at your waist, right? Because that's the. If they're rotating that way, that's how they're. What I want to say, their line of sight is in the exact right position relative to your motion that makes their eyes do that. And I wonder if it's related, like, you know, there's a therapy that uses eye movement for trauma.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's
related. Oh, so you were traumatizing them by rocking them this way, and this was how they coped with it, was a lot of eye movement.
Maybe it's akin to hypnosis or something, and how it sort of not short circuits, that's not the right word, but it kind of bypasses certain things in the brain and allows, you know, the kid to sort of stop fixating on whatever's making them upset and helps them fall asleep.
I love that in your description of it, you kind of had to do the robot. That was my favorite part.
It doesn't work with all kids. So I've only seen
it with eyes.
I've only seen it work with Alex and her daughter. Like, Delmer never works.
A lot of sensory things that seem to run very specific in families, I'm discovering as I get older. Yeah. As now, you know, I'm at the point where I know multiple generations. And I'm like, that's a thing your parent also enjoyed. Or that bugged your parent.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes with Delmer, he'll be running around the house or doing something, and, you know, it'll be something that Alex did or some kind of thing, some kind of habit that she had when she was that age. And I'll mention that. And then right after I say it, I just think to myself, wow, that's weird. That is so weird, because it seemed like the kids were growing up, I didn't have that experience that a lot of parents have of the kids are growing up really fast or whatever. I mean, I don't know why, but remembering what Alex did does seem like just yesterday. I mean, it just seems like it just happened. That's crazy. But anyway, having grandkids is really fun. I'm glad that that's something that was able to happen in my life.
For those of you who happen to be on the Facebook group, William is a robot. We implant memories in him from days at a time. So it actually was just yesterday.
It's yesterday.
I don't know why that's in the title, given you just said that. But if you're part of that Facebook group, we'll talk about this later.
Yeah, funny. But anyway,
game away with that title.
I didn't get a lot of other things done besides that, so I'm feeling a little time crunched with school. I mean, I shouldn't, because I mean, I'm actually in really good shape for school, because I try to work ahead just, you know, to handle a thing like this. But of course, it's me, so I still feel time crunched, and so I'm kind of stressed out about that. But it was and it was great to have Delmer here anyway. It's always good to have him here. So
yeah,
it's been a good week as far as I'm concerned. I wish I didn't have to, you know, pick up doing classwork, but that's life. How was your week?
You're in the home stretch.
Yeah, I am kind of am. So it's hard though. I mean, you know, like you were saying, a lot, and some of my classmates are calling it that too, senioritis or whatever. It's pretty rough.
This is why I don't recommend doing things. It's that kind of problem.
What do they call it? Burnout. But anyway, how was your week?
It's all right. Nothing too much weird or anything. We went back home with the in-laws for Memorial Day weekend, because it also doubled as graduation party weekend for my niece. She had graduated the weekend before. Got to spend some time with her. That was fun. And my nephew, that was fun. Just in general, it was a pretty relaxed weekend. My wife and her youngest sister went and caught a lot of Pokemon. Did a lot of Pokemon raids. Things like that. They're way deep in the Pokemon.
You've said.
Oh yeah.
What was that one thing Blood Sparrow did that was an augmented reality thing? Ingress
was a real decent AR thing that just never really took off. I knew other people who did. I remember even seeing commercials for it for a little while. It never really seemed to take off. And meanwhile, the company that makes Pokemon Go keeps trying to make Pokemon Go again. And it doesn't work. The closest they got was the Harry Potter one. And that lasted like 3 years and then got shut down. They tried to do a Transformers one, but they just tested it out in Singapore, I think. And it tanked so bad, they just didn't send it anywhere else. They just can't seem to recreate the Pokemon.
Are they going to do a Kaiju one? That'd be funny.
That would be a good one. I would like that.
Wow. That would be something else. I don't know. It's probably not very versatile. Find Godzilla right there. Done. Now what?
Yeah. Downtown Tokyo's would be like Pokemon gyms. It's like, found one. All right. There's a Mothra at this one. Oh, it's a 3-star Mothra. You got to watch out. But Mothra always. No, I don't. That they nerfed that. That's not a. Mothra can live now. Anyway. Maybe that's the episode title. I don't know. I didn't have a lot else going on. I can't think of any particular movie. Did I mention that I'm playing the old new Star Wars game?
I don't think so.
Yeah, so Dredge, which I still haven't quite finished, because I still want to be in the right emotional headspace to finish that game, because it's very dark and disturbing. I'm playing Jedi Fallen Order. Sorry, Star Wars : Jedi : Fallen Order. Which is the old one that came free with PlayStation Plus, not the new one. Star Wars : Jedi : Fallen Order Survivor, which is the sequel to Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. Did you play any of the Star Wars Jedi series?
Series? So I don't know why Abby didn't play that. I mean, it looked interesting and it looked like her kind of thing, but for whatever reason, she never really got interested in it.
You just play as this one red haired dude.
Yeah, I know. We've seen him on TV a lot. He's been a lot of TV things. He was in Gotham.
Oh, the actor. Okay, I thought you meant the Star Wars character had been in other Star Wars things.
No, the actor. Yeah.
And I was like, I thought they made him just for this, but he was in Star Wars Jedi Gotham.
So I don't know why she hasn't played it. It seems like something she'd like. I think she's even, you know, when she's seen it, she's said positive things about it, but she's never played it.
It has been compared in its combat mechanics to Dark Souls, which made me nervous. But it also has difficulties. So I had it set on the second lowest difficulty and then very quickly set it to the lowest difficulty. And it's still a challenge, but it's not that bad. The general vibe I got from reviews of it was it's a lot of perfectly serviceable stuff that we played in other games mushed together in something not even remotely original, but kind of fun. And so that was the kind of vibe I was headed for. And I don't know. We'll see. It's not for me in almost all of the ways. It's still set in the Imperial era of Star Wars, which I'm really tired of. And the combat's a little harder than I would like. And I have it set as low as possible. The story does not interest me even a little bit. But the challenging lightsaber combat, I'm starting to get a little bit better at. And there's a little bit of satisfaction out of getting a little bit better. And it is kind of badass to watch you do lightsaber stuff. So we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, yeah, I had an uneventful week. So let's do an email.
I wonder if Abby's kind of over Jedi. I don't know.
I mean, Jedi and cops are pretty much in the same place at this point. We're all good. Jab. All Jedi are bastards.
Okay. So this is from Azure Talon.
I've heard of him.
And the subject is Magical Talking CPAP. Why hasn't the magical...
Is this a competitive podcast series? We deal with competitive podcast series. I can't pop my knuckles like that. I'm sorry.
Okay. Why hasn't the Magical Talking CPAP answered my letters? Oh, Azure Talon is sending letters. Letters? To the Magical Talking CPAP.
Well, apparently, what's the date on this email? Because apparently that's the day Azure Talon had an aneurysm just as he was putting together an email for us.
Pretty much exactly a month ago.
I haven't heard from him in that. Oh, wait, I think he's put things on the blog. So somebody found his body, didn't know about the email, hid his body and is pretending to be him. This is the piece of evidence we have that. I don't know. What do you want to do with this? The dude's been emailing my CPAP, apparently. Or sorry, physically mailing my CPAP.
Well, here's the thing about that. You do have a magical talking CPAP, but the magical talking hat is magical in that it has its own email address. I don't think we ever established what made the talking CPAP magical other than the fact that it talks.
Yeah, it talks. It's a hat of magical talk. What makes it magic is talking.
The CPAP.
Yes. Its magic has nothing to do with, again, physical mail.
Yeah, it doesn't have its own
physical address. And the ability, it doesn't magically have its own mailing address.
Right. Or email address for that matter. I mean
yeah, ever, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, the hat talks and has an email. That's
no, the hat doesn't talk.
Things. Well, that's right. We talk.
We spent the first half of our careers doing nothing but right. establishing that the hat I know, doesn't
I'm,
talk.
I'm just getting confused this with the CPAP is because
so
this,
dead.
The CPAP does talk.
Yes.
Yes.
You just postulated that now. I know, in one sense,
look.
It does as of this moment. In another sense, because we're within the fiction, it has for years. Yes, of course.
Of course it does. Yeah.
The hat, meanwhile, has never talked. And we've been doing this for so long that it has literally been years since that was established.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't get very much sleep in this past week.
What? So, did you have a baby?
So the answer is, I mean, Azurtown, where are you sending those letters exactly? Did someone tell you that the magical talking CPAP had a physical address and you've been sending letters there because someone told you a story? We didn't tell you that. I don't think.
Does the CPAP live in a van? Did you have to pay an initial fee? Do you make money if, like, you tell two friends to send mail to this hat, and then they tell two friends?
I think it's something like that. As you're telling, you really need to find who's been telling you these terrible lies about the magical talking CPAP. I don't think the magical talking CPAP is going to have a physical address or an email address or anything else. I mean, I think it's perfectly
magical.
Yeah, I think it's perfectly happy just talking to Tony.
I actually think Azurtown CPAP is not set right for him, and he's not getting enough oxygen, so he's hallucinating that the CPAP is talking.
Oh.
But
that's a possibility.
Look into it, dude. Give us another email then.
Well, that's also from Azurtown.
If this is about another magical talking durable medical equipment and or haberdashery.
He sent a question that someone else was asking online to how does this pronounce? Is it Cura or Quora or how do people
I've always
it?
Said Quora.
Okay.
I don't actually know Quora because there's even a you there, maybe it's just Quora.
Well, there's a U.
All right, good. Then it probably is Quora or Qdoba.
Anyway, he sent a link to someone's question about
Last Airbender.
So their question to Quora was, I forgot to scan my one banana from Walmart and I realized it after I came home. Do I go back? Will I get in trouble? So I guess Azurtown wants us to try to answer this person's Quora question.
I want to hear your take, very much so. I feel like this is exactly the level of ethical question that you would thrive in.
Thrive in?
Yes. My ethics in this situation are not bad at all. If I accidentally did this, how do I put this? If I already stabbed the cashier on the way out, I'm not going to be concerned with how I did this. I've already done four worse things since I did this by the time I figure it out. Mm-hmm. What about you?
I think I have on occasion noticed
that
I didn't pay for something. Not, this is probably related to how you sort of check yourself out nowadays, you know?
But that would make the most sense.
Plenty of times I've come home and looked at my receipt and there was something in my grocery bag that didn't get scanned or whatever. In which case, I think what's interesting here is I think the ethics for most people change. I think the big ethical problem here is that you checked yourself. But if that person checked you and they made the mistake, you know, I think people calculate it differently. Don't you?
Yeah, I could see that. I could see a whole, like, it was your responsibility and you made the mistake. Whereas in self-checkout, they'd be like, it was my responsibility. I made the mistake.
Right, right.
That's like stealing. I still think most of them wouldn't bother to do anything about it.
Well, here's the thing. Since this has never happened to me, but it has happened to me that I found something that the checker didn't check, but I went back or I called or I did something to make it right. So I imagine if I was checking myself, I would feel even more responsible to do that. Now, using the example of a banana, because I imagine a person's thinking a single banana doesn't cost very much. It's not going to do any harm if you don't run back with this banana or whatever. I don't think that would figure into it for me. I think it'd be, I don't know, part of it's because I've worked in jobs like this before and I know that someone's keeping track of inventory. I mean, you know, they're going to be short and they're not going to know why they're short. And it doesn't matter because they're probably always short, right? Someone's always taking a banana accidentally or on purpose. You know, if they're even keeping inventory down to single bananas rather than bunches or whatever. So, but I just have it in my head that some poor schmuck is going to be inconvenienced by this in some way. And I just can't stand that thought. So it's not about the money. It's not about whatever. It's about this is, I don't want this to be an issue for anybody else. So I will do this.
All right. Now let's pretend it's still just a banana, but you to go back, you have to walk back 5 miles. It is snowing.
Well, that doesn't really impact me at all because I'll probably call before I go no matter what. And there have been times where that's happened where a person said, you know, don't worry about it. It's, you know, just, you know, we'll at the end of the month, we'll look at our inventory. So there's going to be some losses and it'll just be absorbed in that. Don't worry.
Okay. Now, if you, it's not snowing anymore, but if you go back and tell them and pay for this, one employee is definitely going to die. But if you don't go back, five other employees who wouldn't have died will die.
Oh man.
It's a green banana for the record. Like it's not ripe yet. It's not going to be ripe for at least a few more days if that factors in with that. I don't.
Okay. So no matter what I do, at least a person's going to die. No matter what I do, a person's going to die.
Let's just make it easier. Your house and the grocery store are on trolleys. Let's see if we can streamline this. I don't think it'll be as difficult if we can just...
Okay, well...
And there's a banana peel on the tracks.
You know, there's a perspective issue with that problem, including the trolley problem, where it's like, well, if I do this, this many people will be killed. If I do this, this many people will be killed. But you could also think of it, if I do this, this many people will be saved. If I do this, this many people will be saved. You can think of it like that too.
It's
I don't know.
It's a problem.
It changes much. I think it would change how people perceive the calculus more than it would actually obviously change the calculus, but that's the whole point of it, I guess. But yeah, I pretty much am always going to call them up and say, hey, this happened. What do you want me to do about it? And if they say, yeah, come in, or if they say don't or whatever, it's a lot of times they'll say, don't
this
worry about it.
This grocery store closed down 25 years ago.
What? That can't be right. Mabel sold me this banana. Mabel's been dead for...
And that banana you're holding is just a rock. Sir, I think you've been in a serious car accident. Did you try and peel that rock? Oh, sir. Why don't you have a seat?
Oh, man. You've seen way too many of those movies on Shudder.
Call the police. We've got another. I believe Ezzy is on the hunger strike right now.
Oh. That's why she's
we were gone. Because we were gone.
Is it a punishment?
I don't know. She's being weird lately. She's also having trouble hopping up on things lately. She doesn't seem any pain when she moves around. But she's just suddenly more scared or uncertain about jumping up on things. So I was worried that that was something different. But now I think it's all just hunger strike material. We'll see. We just left, came home, and then closed up the house because it's freaking hot. And so these are all things that bother her. All right.
Yeah.
A combination of an uneventful week for me. William not being really that into his grandchildren, and Azure Talon writing terrible questions mean we're doing a third email in one episode. And we're only like halfway through the episode, so let's see what happens.
This is also from Azure Talon. Oh, we've had whole Azure Talon episodes before.
We have. I don't like to think about them, but we have.
Yeah, it happens. This is going to be one of them, I think. He says, you are cursed with the knowledge of understanding your toilet's emotions. Hmm. Is it better if the toilet resents what they do and hates you for it, or if it's really weirdly into it?
I have a lot of thoughts, a lot of things to say on it. It all pales in comparison to watching William even try and think about this question, let alone answer this question. Go ahead.
Emotions. I mean, I suppose.
Yes.
I mean, if my toilet suddenly had emotions, or I realized it had had emotions the whole time.
You go poop in the yard.
Or something. I'd use a toilet that doesn't have emotions, maybe. Unless they all have emotions.
They all have emotions. And so does your yard.
So obviously I'm going to fail just to avoid this whole question because that's what I want to do.
Because otherwise it's really boring. Yes. Down came the good fairy and she said, William, you got to poop in one of the toilets or it's a shit story. No pun intended.
And as you've already surmised, as I'm sure Azure Talon has, that both of these options do make me feel uncomfortable. But so which is worse? A person being an entity being deeply and understandably disgusted by what I'm doing, or not disgusted. So that part's good. But, you know,
into it.
Yeah.
That
I mean,
Polar Guard commercial that they did on Saturday Night Live when Woody Harrelson hosted recently. Every morning they're just waiting for you to unleash. And that's the word they use.
Unleash. I guess I would prefer that the entity not be suffering.
Oh.
I wouldn't like the other thing either, but that's better than, that's preferable to this entity suffering, I think.
Well, William, I think that's super hot. Concern for the suffering, and also your new toilet agrees. Like, oh, you were trying to spare a toilet from suffering for this. Now I'm extra into you. I'm going for the kinky toilet the whole time. I mean, life is too short for it to not turn it into a weird sex thing. That's my motto in life.
I mean, yeah, it's... What? Never mind.
Like, never mind. Like, no, I do. I am super impressed with just how quickly you vaulted over this entire thing. And what's sad is it didn't occur to me until you said this. Like, if I ever found out this, and I was like, he's just not gonna poop ever in that toilet. He'll just. Well, what if they're all like that? People pooped before toilets. Yeah, your question, which is the correct answer, by the way. You learn that your toilet has feelings. What kind of toilet? I don't care at that point. I'm not pooping in things that have feelings.
That's right. But as you pointed out,
I was very clear in the 76 campaign. I refuse to poop in anything that has feelings.
As you pointed out, that's boring. But also, it's a way, it's a really disgusting and gross Azure Talon way to to introduce just the notion, like, because I can think in other contexts. I can think in other contexts of this person is going to be disgusted by this versus weirdly into it, whatever it is. And you have to deal with that situation. And maybe it's because I have a feeling as a therapist, I might run into this very thing. And I'm going to have to make a kind of decision, not exactly like that, but a little bit like that, where it's like, well, you know, it's better for the person to not be suffering. And I can tolerate this.
This is a good point. This is a good point. And this is something you should consider as a therapist in training. I think when you go into a donut place and ask for just one glazed donut, as you are wont to do sometimes, pretend this is like, do you think this person is secretly disgusted that I'm just ordering a single glaze? Or are they secretly really turned on by that? And which is worse? And like, I think this will help you be a better therapist.
Why would they have any opinion?
Those are the
whatsoever?
Only options to that purchase. Disgust or fetish.
Okay.
This is the thing. I think in order to be a good therapist, you need to go around assuming that most things you do are either somebody's kink or somebody hates them. And there is no other opinion. I'm just trying to help your career. I want you to be the best therapist you can be.
I mean, I could adopt sort of a neo-Freudian perspective on there's only two drives, disgust and kink. That's it. If you come into my office, I have to sort that out. Now, you can insist that something is not a disgust or a kink, but I know that there's
the only first, two. The first question is always, so what brings you to therapy? And I will only accept one of two answers. Sometimes that takes up the majority of the sessions covered by insurance. Just trying to answer that one question. And then
tell me what you're either into or disgusted by. That's gotta be the answer. Yes. Let's not take 3 years to figure this out.
Yes. revolutionize the discipline. They're going to make a movie about this later in life, an action comedy, about how you went through the trouble of becoming a licensed therapist. And the whole plan from the beginning was I was your puppet and I would just come up with the weirdest shit. And you would try and make that really happen within the industry and the community.
Yep. And then I'm on all the talk shows and everything.
Exactly. But then you start getting full of yourself and you think that you came up with the ideas, and that's where we have a falling out about that. And then eventually one of us or both of us does a big reveal on television about the whole scam. And then you find out that what you wanted all along was actually to help people with therapy and not this whole funny deal where we make them think about the feelings their toilets have. And I realized that there's an entire internet community dedicated to me doing faux therapy like this as like a kinky role play thing. And I don't need any certification for that. And so we both end up happy. And I don't know, throw a couple of love interests in there if you want. I don't know, but writes itself practically.
Yeah, that's a solid elevator pitch right there. Solid, solid.
Have you ever had the discussion of who you cast as you in a movie about you?
I mean, I think they've asked us that, but
I remember having this conversation as early as like junior high and stuff.
I don't think I've ever talked to anybody.
If somebody was going to play you in a movie, what known actor would that be?
I think the only time I've ever talked about that is on the podcast because somebody asked.
What did we get to?
I don't think we got to anything. I think I mentioned some people that other people said I resembled, like actors or whatever. And I don't even remember who those were.
Flip Wilson.
No, I'm a lot taller than him.
Did I tell you the thing where I'm pretending I look like Julie Andrews now?
Oh, how's that working out?
Great. I'm loving it. Contractually, I'm obligated to add that when I say that phrase. No, I was in the pet store where we get the pet food, and you have an account in there because, like, the kind of pet food we get, every 12 bags, you get a 13th free or whatever.
Oh.
So they're always like, who's it under? But they kind of know me now. And so they often just kind of know. And I'm like, you didn't ask my name. And they're like, oh, no, we don't. This one woman who I guess I hadn't seen in a while, I come up there and she's like, I want to say Andrews. And I was like, no, actually, it's Turner, because I always use Trisha's because for a long time they couldn't find mine, even though it's the same account. And then while she's ringing it up, I was like, but I have been told I look an awful lot like young Julie Andrews, so you're not the first to make the mistake. And she laughed politely, because it's not that good a joke. But I think I've decided to own it. I think that's my thing now, is that I resemble a young Julie Andrews, and people are always mistaking me for that.
It throws me off whenever we connect on Zoom.
Right. We used to start every episode with a big rendition of The Hills Are Alive, but then at a certain point, well, it's one of those once you see it, you can't unsee it things. Yeah. And it just started weirding William out. I can't tell if he was disgusted by it or turned on by it, but it was definitely one of those because
it has to be one because it's a spectrum, not a continuum. There's no zero. So
yeah. No.
Yep, no zero.
And together we made the worst school of therapeutic discipline ever. This episode, doesn't she drag?
Yeah. I mean,
we've gone through three emails and you had a freaking new grandkid. You'd really think the time would fly. I'm not doing I mean, lot.
Yeah, I guess I didn't have a lot to say about that. Because not a lot happened.
No, you know, I mean, they don't, do they? Like, living, dead, all right. You got the first one right after that.
He slept mostly.
You got a pass for most of the rest of this.
Oh, by coincidence, because you weren't you talking about She-Ra before? Like,
yeah, I've been watching She-Ra and the Princesses of Power.
Yeah, coincidentally, Dumber's kind of gotten into that show lately. So we actually watched a lot of it while he was here.
All right.
Because he, at least up to now, he's not a, or wasn't, a big TV watcher. Like, we'd have the television on, cartoons even, animated stuff, and he, not interested. He's running around. But this time we watched some She-Ra and some Brave and the Bold, Batman Brave and the Bold, which was even better than I remembered. Batman Brave and the Bold is so good. And he liked that too. But both of those shows, we watched some episodes, and I was impressed with how good both of them are in terms of, like, voice talent and the writing and stuff. It's like, wow, these are just really, really good. I mean, they're perfect for kids. Both of these shows are really good for kids. They're not, you know, complicated or overly violent or anything like that. But an adult can watch and just really appreciate the good vocal performances and the very skilled writing in it. I mean, the animation is, you know, it's okay. But wow, it's just, they're just really good shows to sit down and watch with your kids. And then, like you were saying, you know, if you want to talk about ethics or morals or how to get along with people or anything like that, well, that stuff's in there too. It's just really, really good. I mean, I was impressed. I remember being impressed with both of them the first time I saw each of them, but, you know, sitting watching with a kid, you really, really sinks in how well done they are. Are you still watching She-Ra? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched them in the last couple of days, but yes, I am still watching She-Ra. And I'm comfortable with saying my taste in television shows is on par with a two-year-old. Dumber's got good taste.
He does, boy. He'll sit there and he'll just watch it. Which, like I said, and not just anything. I mean, you can put lots of things on that, you know, that I've heard anyway, other two-year-olds like, and he won't like it.
Yeah.
But he likes
She-Ra. Avoiding a lot of YouTube shows that way.
Yeah.
That I've heard tales of.
That you've heard tales.
Coco Melon. That's one.
I mean, you had to watch some shows like that when you watched The Neighbor Kids.
A little bit. I mean, I'm old enough and they're old enough now. It was like Dora the Explorer and Strawberry Shortcake. Like, normal things. I've had nieces who watched LOL Babies and crap like that, which is literally just somebody with toys just making voices about toys, like literally just a hand and something like, we're opening this new package, and it made millions and millions and millions of dollars in ad revenue.
Really?
All the children love it. For the longest time, I don't know if it's still true, but the most successful YouTube content creator is a family who their whole deal is their child Ryan gets a new toy and talks about it and plays with it. Ryan's Toy Reviews was like the single biggest YouTube channel at one point.
Well, that might be.
Kids eat that shit up. Just seeing other kids playing with toys, or like seeing new toys that then they can ask their parents for. Kids love that. Welcome to capitalist dystopia.
Well, I'm kind of interested in the kinds of things that Delmer's would be interested in. I like kind of watching him make choices. I like, you know, seeing what he's going to do, see what he pays attention to, see what he does with
training things. Him now so that when you're old and infirm and need someone young to take care of you, he'll be there. I get it. Learning from him about cattle purchasing. I've seen how you do that. He's got a lot of wisdom for two.
Yeah, he's got a lot of wisdom. Well, you know, it is funny the you know, with his mom, there were a lot of patterns.
She wasn't in the cattle purchasing at all.
No, there were a lot of patterns in her behavior from real young that, I mean, you can see the pattern clear up until now with the things she's interested in and the things that, you know, the way she approaches problem solving and things like that. It's kind of amazing to watch a person sort of develop and some of the strategies that they, you know, as a child, they kind of acquire these strategies for interacting with their world. And if they feel like they're successful enough, obviously, or if they are successful enough, you can see them continuing to sort of do things that way, you know, clear up until they're an adult. It's just really interesting.
It sounds cool. I just watch it from over here. It's not worth the reason. But we can start doing some grandpa YouTube content if you want. Do you want to, like, you want to draft together like the 8 kinds of grandparents, and then we'll have a little sketch or whatever? You put together the first one, then we'll put them on 8? The channel.
There great. Have to be 8 kinds.
6 to 8, I think, is the is classic. It? Yeah. Okay. If it's more than 8, it seems a little too much, but you need at least 6 for a good list.
Okay. Well, I'll work on that.
You can do like a control one if you want. You can do like a fairly normal grandparent of some kind if you want. But yeah, you put that together and we'll get it for next time. In the meantime, was this episode as long for you listeners as it was for us? I don't know either. So don't get in the comments and ask, because I also don't know. But do get in the comments and say other things, or go to the blog, magicstockinghat.com. Say things there. Email us. As you can tell, what we have in the mailbox is stuffed full of this kind of thing. So we need more emails all the time. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. No CPAPs were involved. I think that's about it. We'll be back next week. And hopefully the new grandkid will have done something interesting, or I don't know what we're going to do then either. So I hope she learned to juggle or something.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.